It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Support for GigPod is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free delivery with the code GigPod at manscaped.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of GigPod. I'm Rizzo and I'm joined by Spunkphone. And unbelievably, Spunkphone, we've done two podcasts together and both times there's been technical difficulties. This is just remarkable, isn't it?
Just an absolute disaster, Rizzo. Much like the performance at Tynecastle that we're about to come on to. But thanks everyone for obviously downloading and tuning in to listen to John and I despair over yet another defeat for Celtic. Looking forward to it, mate.
Yes, it was you and Stevie after the Mitchell game. And now it's me and you talking about our game against Hearts on Saturday night, a game which we lost 2-1. We gave away a bad goal in the first 5 minutes. That's the Gary McKay's even. Then, in a truly unbelievable moment, Anthony Ralston equalised with a superb solo goal that Lionel Messi would have been proud of. And we had a good spell then with a goal wrongly disallowed, chopped off by a good old linesman. And the nice guy Halliday published to get red carded for a ridiculous challenge in Conor McGregor. Well, Conor McGregor with that back. Callum just waved his finger and wasn't even a booting by the great Robert Madden. But we don't really want to mention referees, that's what Stephen Gerrard does. And then, in a typical Celtic style, we gave away a truly abysmal goal in the last 2 minutes. Well, near Beaton managed to lose his man and Scott Bain seemed to dive behind the ball. So, all in all, not a great week for Ange and not the best first league game for him and Charles Spunkfoam. What did you make it last night?
Wasn't the greatest performance, was it? I think aside from maybe 20 or 25 minutes that we had after half-time and up to the equaliser, the incredible equaliser for big Anthony Ralston that I'm sure we'll come on in a bit more detail. I thought it was a pretty poor performance, to be honest. I don't think we were great. We lose two soft goals, obviously. Defensively, you know, that's been a Achilles heel for quite a long time now. And to be honest, I don't see it changing any time soon. Not unless there's major reinforcements brought into that back line. And by that, I mean a goalkeeper, two new fullbacks, and probably another centre-half as well. Starfelt, obviously, was pretty calamitous, to be honest, at the first goal. We can't really get away from that. He had that back pass as well at one point, which nearly went in for our own goal. But funnily enough, after saying all that, then I'm going to say I don't think he was actually as bad as maybe some people had made out. I thought Tony Ralston, actually, even the goal aside, was probably one of our better players again, which, to be honest, is saying quite a lot about the last couple of performances. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I don't think it was a great performance other than that 20 or so minute spell after half-time. Kind of similar, I suppose, to Michelin in that regard. And once again, set pieces, we just completely shoot ourselves in the foot. So, a typical Celtic performance.
It's not been the best start for Ange. That's three games, three competitive games, no wins. In a way, we probably could have won the three of them. I mean, I think if Beaton hadn't got sent off and Eddie hadn't missed that sitter, we could have won the first leg. Second leg, we had that sitter that Forrest missed, and then settings after it, equalised, and then in the game at Tynecastle, we get a goal chopped off for offside that wasn't offside. We'd have went 2-1 ahead, and I think we would have wanted to win the game, but these things happen in football, and I think for his sake, nobody will be blaming Ange for anything yet. Celtic's recruitment has been shambolic this summer, but he has to start winning games, starting against Jablonec in the Europa League qualifying Thursday night, just to get, the fans will stick by him, but just to get, for now, a winning mentality forced into this team.
You and I have kind of discussed, well, why don't they give the guy time, but one thing he's got to do in any Celtic manager has got to do is they've got to buy themselves time. And I think that game on Thursday, which I'm sure we'll come on to in a bit more detail, is crucial now because it's now three competitive games without a win. Like you say, there's moments you look at in those games where it is sort of fine margins, and I think that just makes it all the more frustrating, to be honest, at how lackadaisical we've been with the recruitment side of things, because if we'd got these players in sooner, if we'd got Furuhashi and Starfelt in a week or two sooner than we did there, which really we should have been looking to do, knowing obviously these ridiculous quarantine rules that we've currently got in place with our wonderful Scottish government, John, who we've never criticised on this show.
No, never.
I think that makes it all the more frustrating, is that there's actually been fine margins in this game. Like you say, last night we had a perfectly legitimate goal ruled out for offside. All right, fair enough, we'll take that in the chin. Ryan Christie, when he came on, and actually he's been one of our better players in the last few games, I'm surprised he didn't start last night. He had an opportunity at one point where he tried to kind of curl it back across Craig Gordon, where really Furuhashi was waiting there for a tap-in, and that would have been 2-1 as well. So it's these little instances at the moment that are costing us, along with just some absolutely calamitous defending yet again.
Yeah, we talk about the defending. I mean, Starfelt didn't really cover his ceiling glory with the first goal, but I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it's his first game. He's getting thrown into a difficult situation. As you said, he didn't really play that bad, apart from nearly scoring one of the most bizarre own goals of all time in the second half. But, I mean, I'm willing to give him time. We can't write him off yet, but Neil Beaton and Scott Bain, I mean, I was a bit surprised that Neil Beaton started. He had already let the side down by getting sent off against Midtjylland. I thought it would have been Welsh or Murray. That would have been a gamble, but they're actually centre-halves. They're no midfielders masquerading as centre-halves, which Neil Beaton is, even though we've done it for years in Champions League qualifiers, played at centre-half, and it's almost always ended badly. But he wasn't good for the first goal, but he was absolutely terrible for the second goal. I mean, he just didn't challenge for the leader at all, and Scott Bain, I mean, he was so bad for that winning goal for Hearts. He sort of gave the guy all the time in the world, all the space to put the header into the goals, because he left a big, huge gap. And he sort of dived after the ball was by him. He's just no good as a Celtic goalkeeper, Scott Bain. And surely we're going to sign a goalkeeper this week. And I know a lot of people are fond of Joe Hart, and I'm not fond of him particularly, but he's better than our Celtic's goalkeepers. And I know people talk about Craig Gordon because of the two saves at the end of the game. I mean, Craig Gordon had lost his place at Celtic, and all that stuff to bring him back, as you said on the Never To Be Listened to podcast, was revisionism. But, I mean, we don't really need to say much about Neil Beaton because we've seen it before, but it's just unfathomable that we've got three goalkeepers and none of them are good enough. I mean, all right, Conor Hazard hasn't played a lot, but with how bad your goalkeepers are, if he was good enough, he'd got a chance. And Barkas, I've seen people say give him a chance, but I think his days are numbered, especially when he got dropped for the second leg against Midtjylland. I think we'll probably try and move him on loan at least in the transfer window. And Scott Bain's just no good. I mean, how are Celtic managed to get into this situation where we've got three goalies and none of them are any good? It's absolutely mad, isn't it?
Aye. I mean, Bain is just always a calamity or a mistake waiting to happen. And it was the same case again last night. I don't know what he was doing, to be honest, with his positioning at that second goal for Hearts there. I don't know what it is that he supposedly brings to the team, because even his kicking's pretty poor as well. And I know I did kind of say first time around in the recording that with Craig Gordon, it is revisionism, and it is. I don't think for one second that he should have been kept on. His time at the club was up. We've just obviously not adequately replaced, not even Craig Gordon, we didn't adequately replace Fraser Forster, because Craig Gordon had been near the first team for 18 or so months. But one thing he does do, as much as I think they've kind of overdone it with those two saves at the end, was he done the basics well enough last night, and we've not had a goalkeeper that can do these fundamentals well enough for quite a while. And I know Craig Gordon himself, as I said, the goalkeeper, to be fair, was very error-prone. We'd be sitting here all night if we just went over his mistakes in Europe alone, never mind some of the soft goals he conceded domestically. But like I say, the one big difference last night was Hearts had a goalkeeper that done the fundamentals and the basics well enough. Those two saves at the end of the game, which, like I say, I don't think they were world-class saves or anything that people seem to be making out, but they were solid, decent saves. And with Bain and with Barkas as well, we're not getting that. So I think there will be a goalkeeper to come in. I'm with you in saying that I think it'll probably be at some point this week, if it is Joe Hart or if another name gets pulled at the hat. I don't know what our recruitment strategy is at the moment, to be honest, but it wouldn't surprise me if we were just pulling names out of thin air. But it's a position that needs to be addressed drastically for us. I think as much as we were saying Tony Ralston's, funnily enough, been one of our better players the last two or so games, you know, the fullback area as well needs to be addressed drastically, because you see how crucial they're meant to be to Ange's system. And they're just, at the moment, what we've got there in Greg Taylor and Tony Ralston is two pretty limited footballers. And fair play to Tony Ralston, he is doing his best at the moment. It was an outstanding goal last night. You know, the way that he finished it off, I wish our attacking players were that ruthless at the moment, which they don't seem to be. But
you could give James Forrest some lessons in finishing.
Definitely, off his last couple of showings. He's, I don't know what the case is with Forrest at the moment. It's as if he was sort of rushed back from injury potentially, and I don't know if he's maybe just not there as of yet. He was out for quite a long time, and I'm imagining that is probably what it is. But I was surprised Ryan Christie never started that game, to be honest. I know we're kind of coming on to a different area now, and we don't want to be too critical of the manager, but you know, there's one or two decisions there that I felt were, you know, fairly clear cut. Easy enough, and he'd certainly be helping himself if he'd went with the correct personnel last night. But there was definitely one or two in that lineup that never should have been there. But I think, to be honest, a lot of these issues are bigger than the manager, definitely. And I don't see any drastic improvement coming unless we do make 5, 6, 7 signings before the end of this window.
It is a pretty drastic situation that we're in now, thanks to our wonderful board. But I mean, just back to the goalkeepers for a second. I mean, I know none is particularly fond of Craig Gordon, but he's probably better than any of our goalkeepers now, which is alarming to say the least. And Anthony Ralston, I mean, he's a guy that I don't think has really got a long-term future at Celtic. He's been out on loan. We've been linked with, I think, 10 full-backs, right-backs, and I don't even think that's an exaggeration. We're linked with right-backs all the time. But he has been one of your better players in the three games this season, and I don't know if that says a lot about Celtic or it says a lot about him, but well done to him for just getting his head down and going. But he didn't let him do down in midweek, unlike other big name players. And his goal last night was genuinely excellent. I genuinely couldn't believe it when he scored it. I texted our colleague Stevie just in shock that he'd scored it. And that was the highlight of the game, which really says a lot. But just back to Forrest for a second. I don't know. I think when he's got time, I think he's better when he's more instinctive. When he's got time, he doesn't always do well. He had time. He like pick his spot, I think, last night. But I think if he was more instinctive, he would have done something different. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking for an excuse for him. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Celtic this season. I mean, I don't want to get criticised by the Celtic family, but as it stands, I'd be surprised if he won the league. I mean, and obviously that's not what MD wants to hear. We want us to get back to the top and win the league. But this squad, you know, isn't good enough to win the league. And I think more players will probably leave this window. I think Christie will probably leave. I'd rather he stayed. And you're right, he should have started last night. I didn't get that for Ange. I think I would be happy if Christie signed the contract even at the end of the season, but I doubt that'll happen. Edward, I think it's probably better that he leaves. I mean, he's still got some of that magic. It was his sort of pass to set up, his touch to set up for us for that chance he had last night, but he's just not in it at all. He's just nowhere near the player he used to be. I really don't know how much money we'll get for him now. I'd be shocked if we get anything like that £80 million that's been linked. And we, Ange, we all, as we said earlier, we need to give him time, but he has to start winning games. And I just fear for the Celtic team to know, as it stands, even if we sign a couple of players, go to Ibrox at the end of the month, and if we get humped, which could happen, sorry Celtic family, but it could, I think that'll be the end of any honeymoon period Jan just had. And he's not even had a honeymoon period because he's not won any of his first three games. And away, I feel sorry for him away, in a way, because he's took over the Celtic in an absolutely ridiculous time. It's just the club's in a really strange frame of mind now. But you need to win games at Celtic. A manager can start off with his first three games and they're big games when he wins. We've got Jablonec, the two games against Jablonec, and we've got another three home games before we play Rangers. We've got Hearts in the League Cup, St Mirren and Dundee. So that's five games, and I think he really has to win every single one of the games. And we should, because we should still have enough to beat Jablonec twice. We should be able to beat Hearts in the League Cup. We should have beat Hearts last night, even though we didn't play that well. Hearts weren't good at all. We should be able to beat Dundee and St Mirren at home, surely, even though this Celtic team is not very good. But he has to, I think he needs to win the five games. Maybe four and a draw away to Jablonec, because it's away from home. But he needs wins very soon. And that, if Celtic get their finger out and start signing more players, that will help. But he does need wins very, very soon. Would you agree with that?
I would, absolutely. And ahead of the trip to Ibrox as well, we're going to have another round of European qualifiers and the playoffs to negotiate, whether that's for the Europa League or... I don't think we can rule out the Conference League at this stage.
I forgot about the games. I deliberately forgot about the games because if I thought about it, it would take a migraine. So thanks for that, Spunk Phone.
No, but it just shows you how big a month we've got coming up here. And it really does need to turn it around quickly. I'm more than happy to give him time and trust the process and all that sort of patter. But ultimately, to be a Celtic manager, you have to buy yourself time. And, you know, we should have been coming into this season aiming to win the league. We still can. It's, you know, one game in a 38 game season that's gone, but at this moment in time it's looking increasingly unlikely, because we've just been totally negligent, to be honest. I think that's the only word for it. On the recruitment front, we've just not done enough. The fact that we're going into that game last night, and I know we keep saying it, like, Tony Ralston's been all right in the three competitive games we've played so far, but he's only right back at the club at this moment in time. It's a disgrace that that's even the situation.
We should actually have stopped for a minute of silence after that, because it's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, fair fucks to him because he's done well, but it is so just ridiculous that a team's got in their first team squad, like, well, we've actually got Leo Connor, but he's never been seen. I mean, he's not played, I think, for the first team since we bought him. He was on loan at, like, Tranmere last season. He's a right back, but I mean, the new in the squad, there's one right back. It's just bizarre. I mean, if another team done this, we'd be howling at them. If Rangers were doing this, then we'd be absolutely pissing ourselves at them. So it's just our recruitment, as you said, is ridiculous, isn't it? Terrible.
You know, and it just shows you. I mean, they've got to support Ange, because they've clearly not done that well enough so far. It's a massive month that we're going into there. We've got two rounds of European qualifiers to negotiate. We're not quite sure what competition that playoff round will be in, although we hope it will be the Europa League. And then we've got all these domestic games as well. Like you say, the run of games at Celtic Park's a great opportunity for them to start getting some wins on the board. I know it's probably going to be a bit of a funny atmosphere next Sunday, potentially, against Dundee with a protest, and, you know, fans are completely within their right to protest at the run of the club at the moment. It's nothing against Ange or the team or anything like that at all. And in all likelihood, I'll probably be there myself. But it will be a bit of a strange atmosphere there. But they've obviously got to put that to one side and get off the mark now in the league. And fingers crossed, they can obviously get a win on Thursday night to sort of set themselves up for that as well. I would hope that we'll have enough to negotiate that tie. Can't say I've seen a lot of our opposition ahead of those two ties, but you've got to hope that we'll have enough to at least get through that round there and into the playoff, where there's one or two decent looking sets of opposition in there that we could potentially come up against. So it just shows you, to be honest, how quickly we've got to start getting deals done here. We need new fullbacks. We need a new goalkeeper. Olivier Ncham, I'm sure we're just about to come on to, has left the club today, so we're needing reinforcements in midfield. We don't know what the long-term future of Odson Edward is, although I'd imagine it isn't at Celtic. So there's, you know, six or seven potentially that you're looking at needing to get in before the transfer window slams shut.
I mean, I think the goalkeeper will probably be Joe Hart, for what I've been reading about and hearing. And he's maybe not the best goalkeeper these days, but he's got a big personality, and that could work to an extent, I suppose. I mean, right back could be anybody. We've been linked with loads, like George Baldock. I think George Baldock's what we want to buy, the, you know, Sheffield United guy, but I don't reckon. I think Sheffield United will like 8 million or something for him, and we just can't spend 8 million on the right back. It'd be daft, even though he'd help us. I mean, we've been linked with a couple of guys for like Derby as well, and the guys for Rennes, and that guy for Antwerp, Aurelio Buta. I mean, that was supposedly going to happen, but it's went quite in that front. No doubt we're having a 16-week long discussion about whether we should sign him or not, and like try and get maybe 5 pence off the transfer fee we need to pay. But I mean, when we look back at this season, hopefully when we're there end of season podcast in May, we're like, maybe we feel like we're going to be crap this season and we still went on to win the treble, amazing. But if we somehow don't win the league, I mean, I think the board will take more of the blame than Ange for this situation. I mean, Ange, he did take the job, but he's always going to be up against it. Like, I mean, if it was appointed, like at the time Ronnie was appointed, he'd get a lot more time because we never really had much of a challenge then. And our squad wasn't as ramshackled as it is. But I think that if we don't win the league, I think the board will get more of the blame, and rightly so, because they've made a complete mess of this at the club since last October, when it was clear to everybody that Lenny should have lost his job, but Celtic decided to stick with him for reasons unknown. It's just, and the fans were protesting then, fans are going to protest next weekend. I mean, that must be a record at a club. First home league game of the season, and you're going to get protests, and they've nobody to blame but themselves for the way they've run the club. I mean, as you said, with our wonderful first leaders quarantine rules, I mean, Celtic knew that we had to get players in weeks ago, and we should have done it weeks ago, but no. And then, all right, Starfield didn't play great last night, but he'd have been a help in midweek, probably. The striker as well, Furuhashi, if we'd got him in time, he might have been a help as well, but no, it's the same old date in the last minute. We've done it even when we had one of our best managers in years, Brendan Rodgers. We scraped about and tried to get players in. He had to play Beaton at centre half, like in Champions League qualifiers as well. And no wonder he wanted to go to China. Can't blame him. But Brendan, and I know everybody was mad at him for leaving, but see, looking back at that, you can't blame him for leaving when he did, because he probably saw the writing on the wall that Celtic were going to make a mess of things, and I don't MD thought we'd be in this situation. Knowing it is just unbelievable how Celtic have managed to fall apart in the last year, and most of the people that have caused this problem are still at the club. The only one that's left is Neil Lennon. It's Peter Lawwell, I think, like, he's no day-to-day anymore, but I think he's probably still involved in the club somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised, allegedly. But no, I mean, it's just that, I don't know. It's not looking good, you know. And what the manager can turn that around is by winning games as soon as possible. There should have been a lot more changes at Celtic in the summer. I mean, remember the talk non-stop about a director of football? I think we even talked about it on the episode we done when Ange was appointed. Like, all throughout the summer, they were talking about there's going to be a change. I think they got a recruitment firm. They look at getting a director of football in. And that's like completely been forgot about and bombed out. I think getting a director of football was just as important as getting a manager in. If we'd got a director of football and Ange in the same day, then fair enough, he could take care of that. Ange could take care of the tactics. But I kind of believe that director of football things just been forgot about. It's bizarre, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it's just went completely silent on that front. And that is one of the crucial things in reshaping the squad and recruiting right as well. You know, we could have bloody Pep Guardiola in there as the manager at the moment. It's not going to matter because we're not getting him the right players. And as much as we're saying, you know, we need to get 4, 5, 6, 7, however many it is in as soon as possible, like, do we really trust our recruitment or whoever's making these deals at the moment? Because, you know, there's no real clarity on that front as to who it is that's actually handling it. So it's a sorry state of affairs, John. It really is.
It's terrible. I think this episode is even more downbeat than the episode that we had to drunk. No, I mean, I don't know, there'll be 25,000, 24,000 to 25,000 at Dundee game next week. It'll be interesting to see what reception the team gets. And I mean, as you said, I think it's going to be a sort of strange atmosphere, the protest before the game. But I think a lot of people will just be so happy to be back at Parkhead, even though we're not playing very well. Anyway, I don't know how that happiness will last if we like gear away a goal to a Charlie Adam deflected free kick after 2 minutes or something. Which will probably happen. No luck. But no, that'll be an interesting day, that, because I think there might be a lot of protests. I think there'll be a big crowd there, and I kind of blame the fans, because Celtic aren't doing well at the moment, and that's putting it mildly. We're shambolic, really, and I'm sure the Rangers fans I know that are listening to this, the swines will be loving this, but well, at least when in our darkest days within the liquidations of the start as a new club. So every cloud is a silver lining on it. But we'll finish this episode though with a look at Olivier Ntcham. As you stated earlier, Spunkphone, he has left Celtic. He's on a free transfer. He wrote on his own Instagram that he'd left, thanking all the players and the fans and that. Then Celtic confirmed it on the club's website, and I think this is just a case of what could have been with Olivier Ntcham. I mean, I know a lot of people have criticised him for his application and that, but at one stage it looked like he was going to be like one of the players that we sell for a lot of money, like Chris Ayer, Dembele, Tierney. I had some good memories, that winning goal against Rangers at Parkhead, the winning goal in Rome when Neil Lennon beat Lazio on his own single-handedly. just kidding, Neil, but... No, it does leave with some good memories, but I think it is a case of what could have been. Do you not think?
Aye, I'm totally on side with that. I think you definitely did think in his early days, and I remember, for example, at the end of his first season, he scored in the cup final against Motherwell and did a couple of really good performances in Europe and against Rangers as well. And like you say, then went on to give us a couple of memorable winners against that mob and Lazio as well. So, yeah, there's a couple of good memories you'll obviously leave us with there.
I was just going to say, I've just remembered that when we won 3-2 at Ibrox, when we were reduced to 10 men, I think he was man of the match that day. He helped to dominate the midfield when we were reduced to 10 men. So, there was a player there, but we've missed out on a good transfer fee for him, which is just yet another example of how badly run Celtic are now.
Exactly, that's the most disappointing thing for me, because I don't think Ntcham really kicked a ball for Celtic, certainly in the past 12 months. I know he obviously had that loan stint at Marseille as well. But the most disappointing aspect for me was it was a £4 million outlay on this guy, and he's then walked away for nothing. With the opportunity to sell him to Porto a few years back, and really, it just shows you a recurring problem, and one we're seeing unfolding this summer with Ayer and Edouard, I think to slightly lesser extents, because we obviously got the money for Ayer, and I'd imagine we'll at least recoup the money that we've spent on Edouard despite the last couple of performances. Hopefully Graham Potter's not been watching him, but no, I think the really disappointing thing is it's just the latest in a long line of these really questionable and poor decisions at business level for Celtic. So disappointed. I hope to God we get a replacement in over the next month, but the way things are going on the recruitment front at the moment, I'm not so sure.
Maybe they'll shock us in the next 31 days and we'll sign like 10 players or something. Maybe that'll happen. I mean, that used to happen. like with teams if they were in like a ridiculous situation to go on a, like, a signing spree, a frenzy. And that's what we really need. Like, it'll not happen, but we genuinely could do with signing like 10 players. What a situation. But no, well, it's never dull with Celtic anyway, so I'm sure when we're reunited again in the podcast Spunk Forum, we'll have more exciting things to talk about.
Hopefully a lot more cheery than this one, John. I'm pretty depressed after this, to be honest.
I don't know about more cheery, to tell you the truth, I think. That might be too far. No, Spunk Phone, thanks for joining me in this episode.
Thanks very much, John. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, not once, but twice today. So hopefully we can catch up again soon in cheerier circumstances.
Well, we can only hope. But thanks to Spunk Phone for being on with us in this episode. I think Steve will be back when we do our review for the Jablonec game. Thanks to everybody for listening. Leave us 5-star reviews. Leave us, 5-star ratings, good reviews, and all the usual places you know what to find us on our iTunes, etc. And we're having some good ones. Keep them coming. And we will be back after the Jablonec game and probably after the Dundee game as well. There's going to be a lot of games this month, so probably a lot of gig pod episodes as well. What a treat for our fans, Spunk Phone.
No comment.
Right, thank you, Spunk Phone. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Celtic will be back soon, and so will we. Thank you, everybody, and hail, hail. Podcast Network.